Tonight, let me invite you over to the book of Galatians, and we're going to be in chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 reads this way. It says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, we thank you again for this time that we have to gather in your house, to open your word, and Lord, to know that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we thank you for being in our midst, and we pray for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truth, that we might worship you in truth and spirit and hear from you and be led by you. Bless the service, Lord, that you might be glorified and our lives drawn closer to you, and that we might be the witness of your grace, and we'll praise and thank you. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You know, the wonderful truth, really, about the Word of God is it never grows old. Amen? It never grows old. You can open up the Word of God, and there's always fresh things in there. But here's also something else. It never changes. It never grows old, and it never changes. Now, this world is changing, but the Lord doesn't change. Amen? Truth doesn't change. Now you've come up with people that professing themselves to be wise, right? They've got their truth, and somebody else has their truth. Who came up with that idea? I'll tell you where it came from. It didn't come from heaven. No, because, see, Satan is the author of confusion and would always try to confound and confuse the truth and try to make people think that this is something new and this is something better when God says he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it's important also that we understand that truth and walk in it. And so tonight, listen, this has been, the book of Galatians was written to believers. The title of the message here this evening is Hindered from Obeying the Truth. Hindered from obeying the truth. Now, the first time I really used the word hindered and heard it frequently was when I was a teenager and was playing racquetball. And there's something about racquetball, and that is that you couldn't get in front of the other person. You know, you're hitting it up against the same wall, and if you were in the way, they could just call a hinder, and it's a do-over, basically. And it's a fun game. And anyway, my daughter, I told them, both of them, about racquetball. So they all got together with a couple of their friends, and Gracie did, I think, worse than get in the way of somebody. I think she just hit somebody with the ball. And they said, listen, we're going to have to quit this game. We want to walk out of here. But anyway, it's an interference is what it is. It's getting in the way of somebody or something. And that is what this portion of Scripture is talking about. What got in your way? What kept you? What interfered with you obeying the truth? Now, this is important. That means that there's no reason for anything to get in your way. If something gets in our way, it's because we have allowed it to hinder us and to get into our way and to interfere with what the truth is. Now, let me just tell you what can get into your way. The world can get into your way. Sin can get into your way. Let me say that again. Sin can get into your way. I tell you, Christians today, they tiptoe around that word. And our God never changes. And sin is still wrong, and hell is still hot, and the condemned will die forever. And unless the child of God lives by the truth of the word of God, the light will not shine. And souls won't be saved. And I want you to understand this. Here's the whole idea, and the whole premise is that God has paid for a complete salvation. God's work, let me ask you this, God's work concerning the cross of Calvary, he said it was finished, didn't he not? It is finished. Your complete salvation and redemption was finished in the Lord Jesus Christ. All we have to do is walk in it. Walk in it. You don't have to have a special prayer meeting about walking in your salvation that has been purchased for you by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't have to wait for some kind of a special anointing for you to walk in what God has already purchased
for you at the point of salvation. Don't let anybody keep you, what the world is saying, what Satan might be saying, to hinder you from obeying the truth. It's quite that simple. Listen, we start off and should start off every day saying, oh God, that I might walk in your truth today. Oh God, that you might be glorified in me. Lord, that you might do the work that you said you would do in my life. I am yielded to that today, Lord. And if you don't ask, guess what? You have not. Don't be surprised when you fall, spiritually speaking, into failure and into not obeying the truth, because it's something that we have to make a conscientious decision to call upon the Lord to do his work in our life. And so that's where it all begins there. Let me show you something about this wonderful truth. Now listen, the Bible is powerful, and it is constantly revealing. I hope that you see something here tonight that you've not seen before. We're going to look at just two thoughts tonight, and that is the first one is five things that happen to those that look to the law and not to God's grace for salvation. And secondly, that the Spirit guides us to righteousness by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Those are the only two thoughts, but before I do that, I want to get to my introduction. You thought I already did that, didn't you? All right. Chapter 3, very quickly. I just want to read a couple of verses here. And I want you to see something that God reveals to us in more in-depth revelation of who we are and what Abraham did. So look with me, if you would. And you got to remember, now this book of Galatians here, this epistle, if you will, the letter was written to the church of Galatia that was started by Paul. And so now Paul is coming back, and now these Judaizers had come in, and what we mean by a Judaizer is they were saying, now you've got to keep the law in order to be compliant with all of the scriptures and to go to heaven. And Paul is scratching his head and saying, what happened? And so he's going to give an explanation here with a reprimand, and Paul, being led by the Holy Spirit, has that right. So verse 1 here of chapter 3 says this, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? The idea is, who's cast a spell on you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes, that's them, Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? He said, you had a clear revelation of what Jesus did for you. And he says, what has happened? Verse 2, this only what I learn of you, received ye the Spirit, and that is capitalized, right? So that's the Holy Spirit. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Question, right? And of course, really, it's a rhetorical one, because it was by the hearing of faith. So he says, are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that's capital S, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Listen, this is what happens, I'm going to say, almost to every believer. We get saved, praise God, and now we start looking to what we can do and what we can't do. If you say, I can't do this for God, you're right. But God never expected us to do it in our strength, did he? So we've got to get that out of our vernacular and start looking at what the same way we got saved is the same way we'll be found faithful. There is no excuse to the believer to not hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you're all worried about that, you're looking to the wrong person. You're looking to the wrong person. You can finish the course that God has set out for you, because it's not left up to us and our strength. Just like salvation, if it was left up to you, where would you be? In big trouble. Same place I'd be. So we are not to look to ourselves to finish the course that God has set before me. We're not to look to ourselves to glorify the Lord in our life, in our walk with him. We're to look to him. So he says, how's this all happened? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? So there's the answer, isn't it? Verse 3. You begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect or mature or complete? That word perfect in the Greek, and it's important that we do look into the Greek, and there's many tools out there, because when we think of the word perfect, the world says, oh, you think you're perfect? No, I'm striving, though. But not perfect like what they think, without flaw. No, to full maturity. In other words, that I might apprehend that which God has created me to by his grace. And so he's saying, now you're going to be made perfect by the flesh? Look at verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet vain, in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's another rhetorical question. It's always by faith, or it's never by works. Let me say that again. It's never by works. Our works will never please the Lord. Now listen, that does not mean that, I'm just saved by grace, so bless God, I'm just going to cuss, and I'm just going to watch all this garbage, and I'm just going to listen to all the world, and I'm just going to talk like the world, and dress like the world, and act like the world. Somebody missed something pretty important, if that's where they're coming from. That's not the kind of redemption that God gives to his children. God gives a complete salvation in him. Amen. All right? So he said, listen, these things, if anything is going to be done, it must be done by faith in what Jesus Christ has done. Now watch this, ready? This gets good. Look at verse 6. Even as Abraham worked so hard to keep the law. Oh, wait a minute. He was before the law, wasn't he? No. It says, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. It was put into his account. Now let me ask you this question. Did Abraham have any, did he fail God any? He did. You cannot find one person in the Word of God you know why? Because it is unnatural for us to rely upon the Lord and not ourselves. Everybody has to come to this place to where, it's all done. Okay, God, I'm going to trust in you. So God waited. You remember 85 years old. He called him out at 75 years old. He promised him a son at 85, got this brilliant idea with Sarah and Hagar, and that was wonderful, wasn't it? And so what happens now? Now he waits till he's 100 years old. That puts Ishmael, the mistake, right? The work of his hands. What a blessing that was and is. Israel is still feeling the effects of Ishmael. 15 years later, the Bible says when Abraham, his body was dead, then God worked. You know why? Because it was a revelation to him. And this is what the revelation was. I had nothing to do with it. I had, you know what? Listen, do you know how much you have with your success? Zip. Zero. Listen, that is a hard revelation to get into our thinking. We are so bent towards doing it ourselves that we can't let God do it. And we think it's something we're going to give him. We are the recipients of everything from God. That's why people get confused with the idea of thinking they can lose their salvation. How is that? They think they've got something to do with it. If you're failing God in your service to him, it's because you think you've got something to do with it. Instead of saying, God, and by the way, we've already been given it. If you're saved, if you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he said it was finished. We get to thinking like, God will love me more if I do this. God will hear me more if I do that. We're missing it. All right, now watch this. Verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Put into his account. Now, notice, know ye therefore, because Abraham believed and it was accounted to him, that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Now listen, we are not replacing Israel, but we are brought into the family of God through Abraham. All right. Verse 8. And the scripture foreseeing, let me say that again. The scripture foresaw, that means they saw it before, that God would justify the heathen, that's the non-Jew, through faith, preached before the gospel unto who? Oh my goodness! Abraham heard the gospel. the same one that saved you and I. I didn't say that, God did. He heard the gospel saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. That's when you see that in the book of Genesis, that's the gospel. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Isn't that good? Hey, we just need to, God reveal that truth to me and let me walk in that. That's the faith part. This is how it is. Ready? This is how it works. Everything in the Word of God is a truth. Everything I think outside of that is a lie. Even if I think it. Well, I just can't lie if God said you can. You're just looking at the wrong person. You need to look at the Lord and walk in that truth. Can God, if you've got a problem with any specific sin, can God deliver you from it? All right. Now we're not talking about sinless perfection. We're not talking about not forgetting to call upon the Lord and then being reminded by failure. And then we repent of that and say, that's right, God, I'm supposed to walk in you and you in me. Do you understand? That's what it's talking about. We're not talking about that you're never going to make a mistake. We're not talking about that at all. We're talking about being reminded on a daily basis and throughout the day how much we need him, and not to excuse what God calls sin in our life. Because I can't. That's the mistake. Because God can if he's in us. Listen, why is it that the believers were able to turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ? The world, the known world at that time, and not today in the church. Because this is missing. This is the missing ingredient. That's like trying to have a pizza and you throw the pizza away. You're not going to have it. Forget about the tomato sauce and the pepperoni and the cheese. You just threw the whole pizza away. Not going to happen. All right. Let's get into our text. That was introduction. I'm going to try to get this done in 5 minutes. You're laughing. My wife agrees. Okay. Ready? Ready? All right. Five things that happen to those that look to the law and not God's grace for salvation. But I want you to know the same thing really happens to those who are failing in their walk with the Lord. Now, the difference is that you don't lose your salvation because it's a gift of God. I mean, we believe in the eternal security of the believer because it's the grace of God that saves us. But it is a crying shame for the believer to walk in failure, to disgrace. And that's why there's a lack. Listen, that's why the Lord gave us the example of the stewards over the coins, and why that one servant should have just invested it. He would have gotten his own back with usury, with interest. And he didn't do that. And the Lord was not pleased with him. There's no excuse, is what Jesus is telling us. There's not an excuse. We just need to be directed. Tonight, God is wanting us to understand this important truth. So let's see what he's talking about here. Five things in the first four verses that happen to those to look to the law and not the grace of God for their salvation, or really for their walk. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And that's, so we've been set free. Notice, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're entangled again. That means we've been entangled before. We'll get entangled again. Listen, when Jesus Christ saved you and you had no doubt about it. Woo! Amen? Praise the Lord! You've been set free and you understood what being set free meant. You just thought it was a bunch of religious fanatics saying something they had no clue about until you got it, and then you were able to shout too. Don't be entangled again into bondage where you were before the Lord. That was miserable. Who wants that? Anybody here saved want their old life? Raise your hand. Say amen. Anybody here that knows the Lord want their old life? That's what Paul is saying. Why would you want that? Don't be entangled again. All right? So ready? The next thought here is in verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, if you're adhering to the law, ready? This is the second thing that happens to those that look to the law. Christ shall profit you nothing. even in your salvation. You'll just walk in failure. If you're looking to the law, that means what you can do and what you should do and what you shouldn't do instead of what God is supposed to be doing through you. Christ shall profit you nothing. Not only that, but then look at verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised or looking to their works or what they can do, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Go ahead, you want to keep it? God says do it all. And you know we can't. Paul said that to open up the eyeballs of the Galatian believers. Don't you know their eyeballs got as big as saucers and they said, we can't. Paul said, point taken then, I hope. All right, ready? Verse 4. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Did you see that? Christ has become of no effect. And that's the truth, isn't it? If God is not changing your life, doubtless you're looking to the wrong person. If you're not seeing God deliver you, and give you something to shout about and worship Him about, what kind of salvation is that? It's certainly not what God purchased, is it? Is that what the King of Kings bought? We're looking to the wrong person. God is wanting the church to wake up and to see what they've been given, what Jesus Christ paid for with His blood. He didn't give you some trinket. He gave you a treasure. And God wants you to use it. Ready? He says, look at verse 4 again. For Christ has become no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Notice, ye are fallen from grace. That ought to scare the believer. He's talking to believers, not lost people. All right. Verse 5. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness. How? By striving hard. By hoping we get there. By resting in Christ. The last thought here is that the Spirit guides us to righteousness by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We looked at 5 things that happen to those who look to the law and not God's grace for salvation or power in their lives. The last thought tonight is the Spirit guides us. If we're following the Spirit, it's going to guide us to righteousness by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. I'm not making this up. Now watch this. Ready? We're just going to go to verse 9, but let's look at verse 5 again. For we, through the Spirit, this is what the Spirit does, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Hear that very clearly. Listen. Faith in what? In the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it's working, the root of it is love. Concern and compassion for those who don't understand that need to be redirected. Was Paul a mealy-mouthed preacher? Did Paul love the Galatian believers? He did. Genuinely loved them. He would give his life for them and did. For the gospel. All right, now ready? Does he love them? He's trying to wake them up. Because listen, you only go through this life once. And then you'll stand before your Savior as a saved child of God. If you don't know the Lord, you'll stand before your judge. You will either stand before your Redeemer or by your judge. And God wants it to be your Redeemer. So very quickly, he says, hey, listen, this salvation, this faith works by love. Verse 7, ye did run well. You started out right. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? So you veered off course. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This idea that we got in our heads, a little leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of your good works, you're cooked. And that's really it. Really, you're far off course. You cannot, how much works can you add to God's grace? Let me ask you again, how much works can you add to God's grace? And for those who believe that your sin would cause you to lose your salvation, tell me which one. Answer that. Tell me which one. Amazing thing. I've read this Bible through more than once. Never saw it. Have you? This sin will condemn you for all eternity. Now, you can blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, but when it comes to salvation, if you're a saved child of God, you're not going to do that. So God's pretty clear on that. But God wants the believer to not be hindered from obeying the truth because it's been paid for by the blood of Christ. Everything that we will... Listen, you just have to ask God to make that reality, that revelation real. And stop looking to yourself and just say, you know what, Lord? I'm walking today in that truth. And I'm going to call upon you to fulfill that. Whatever it might be in my mind, in my heart, I want you to remove it if it's an obstacle in your way. I'm going to present myself to you for you to make me after your likeness. You've all heard this. The silversmiths, they would keep skimming off the impurities. They would cook that silver. Until when? Until when? When the silversmith could see his face clearly, his image in the silver. So now you know when you've arrived. Right? When you look like Jesus, you know you're walking in the right place. And we're not talking about sinless perfection, but we ought to step back and be able to say, that was the Lord. Because if that was me, I'd have blown it. I know it. Amen? Don't be hindered from obeying the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the instruction that it brings into our hearts and minds. And Lord, I pray that you would empower Northwood Baptist Church to receive it and to believe it. Lord, that we might all walk in your grace and in your love to be the witness you've called us to be to one another and to the lost and dying world, that you might be glorified, Lord, and that we would be found faithful when you return. We ask your blessings on the rest of the prayer time, and we'll praise and thank you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.